This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
The illusion of time. Many of us do not understand how God relates to time. We sometimes assume that God relates to time the way we do. We are subject to time and space. God is not. The divine perspective of time is that all things are already done. For he who has no beginning and has no end has all things subject to him in the course of life. How the whole of the world will pan out, there is nothing that has not happened before the Lord. We are the ones that are walking in real time. He is the one that is walking outside of time. And so, God already has everything figured out. Like 100%, everything figured out. So you will notice that when God is dealing with things that are not human, time is irrelevant. Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light immediately. But pay attention to Jesus. God said, "This is the Savior of the world." Then Jesus had to be born. Then he had to grow. When he was 12, he wanted to start his ministry, but he was too young. And then he had to grow some more. And then he then started his ministry at the age of 30. And then he then did the ministry for 3.5 years. And then in our own estimation of reality, we will look at it and say, oh, he has to be prepared, he has to mature, he has to understand culture, he has to understand system, he has to understand life, he has to understand how things work. So God couldn't allow him to start ministry at 1 year old or 2 year old. So because of that, he had to go through the process. See, all the process he went through is in the human definition of time. Before the world began, right? Before the origin of the earth was founded, before brick was put on mortar, before God said, "Let there be light," Jesus was already created in the concept of God. It wasn't a result of somebody else, and then God is looking for an emergency to save man, and then said, "This will eat the forbidden fruit. What are we to do? There is no antidote. There is no this. Okay, let's go and quickly form something." So they ran into the lab. They now created something called Jesus. They now said, "This is the antivenom." That was not the reality of what happened in the mind of God. Now I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to hear me well. When God was going to speak to Jeremiah, God called him. He was son of Edo. He was going to be a priest. His father had started training him in the way of the Torah, the Nakib, in the preparation of stuff. He was a very young man, and he was learning it. When suddenly he began to hear the voice of God from the Torah, God was speaking to him. He was hearing God in his heart. And he would hear God in such a way that it would move him bodily. He would be rolling on the floor. He would be having fits, as if he was having a convulsion. And he would be wondering if he was going crazy because his father does not behave like that, and the father was also a priest. And then one day God said to him, "Jeremiah, I'm calling you out of priesthood. You are going to be a prophet." Then Jeremiah said to God, "I am a child. Who would believe me? Who would listen to somebody like me? I am but a child." Do you know what God said? God said, "Do not say to me you are a child. Don't say to me that you are a child. While you are yet in your mother's womb, I have ordained you as a prophet unto nations." You see the problem of time now. That young man was a prophet from the womb, and he has a role to play as a prophet from the womb. He was the one that has to grow into the calling. The calling does not have to grow into him. Let me say that again. He was the one that has to mature into God's purpose. God's purpose was not going to mature into him. God's purpose has been laid down from the beginning. The same with Jesus. God's purpose has been laid down from the beginning. Let me give one more example. I'll give you Elisha. Elisha was raised as a farmer by his parents, trained following his parents to the farm until he could master how to farm by himself. Long before he would ever meet Elijah, God told Elijah, "There is a young man called Elisha. I have ordained him as a prophet in your stead. Go and anoint him and bring him into the reality of his calling." Elijah was on his way, to Mount Carmel, was on his way from Mount Carmel when God gave him this message. After he had done the Mount Carmel thing, and fire had come down from heaven, and he received the letter from Jezebel, that one said, "I'm going to kill you." And then he said, "I'm not better than my fathers. It's better for me to die." And then God was like, "Okay, why are you complaining, guy? There's no problem. I'm going to anoint the people in your stead." And then that was how the name Elisha featured, which means even before Elijah began to complain, God already had Elisha prepared. And Elisha that was prepared had no idea. He had no inkling. He was on the farm when Elijah came. When Elijah came, Elijah did not speak to him. Elijah just threw down his mantle. That young man knew what it meant, that to take the mantle of a prophet like Elijah is not a mistake. If you take it without the prerequisite anointing, you are going to fall down and you are going to be laid on the floor. That is the truth. No ordinary person could touch the mantle of Elijah. So if he drops it, he will be the one to pick it himself. Then he dropped it, and then he walked away, expecting this young man to pick it up. The young man realized that if I pick this mantle and I didn't fall down dead, it means I'm going to follow this mantle into my future. The young man then turned to him with confidence, said, "Master, please, let me say goodbye to my people. I cannot just follow you and disappear. I need to do the human thing, that is to bid farewell to my people." Did you notice that it was him now that was lacking time? He had already been called, he had already been positioned, postured, and positioned for his ministry. He was the one saying, "I want to spend a bit of the time to reach out to people from my village. I'm going to cook for them." So he killed the animals there. He cooked. He shared the food. Look at how many hours that cost him. That wasn't on God, that was on him. Because he was already a prophet, all the social norm he was trying to fulfill were on him. It wasn't on God. He was the one that would grow into that prophet. The prophetic office would not grow into him. Now, I'm saying this so that you can have a clear understanding of purpose as a Christian. There are some of us, God said to you, "You are going to be this, you are going to be that." You heard God clearly. You are thinking that it will happen when it will happen. The moment you heard from God that this is your purpose, delaying it is your problem. It's no longer on God. Did you notice that Elisha was the one that said, "I needed to cook for people." God had called him. He had been activated. That same day, he began to follow Elijah. And within a short time, he became a full prophet. Did you notice that the same thing for Jeremiah? The same thing for Isaiah. Immediately they heard their call, none of them said, God, you have called me. Okay, wait 20 years. Wait 30 years. No, because they lived to fulfill the purpose. They understood that time is a very precious commodity in the realm of men. Time is not a commodity in the realm of God. It is just a thing. It is not scarce. It is abundant because God dwells in timelessness. But with us, it is the rarest and the scarcest commodity. So we must always try our best to make sure we spend our time in the direction of the purpose God has laid before us. If Elisha had spent 2 or 3 more years farming, it would have been 3 years spent away from purpose. No matter how much he made in the farm, no matter how rich he might become through farming, he would be doing that, but that was not his purpose in life. Many of us that say, I still have time, you don't. You don't. The more you do in the purpose of God for you, the farther you will go in the achievement that God has for you. Those who begin early get to go farther. Those who begin late get to go the short distance. Let me say that again so you can get it. If God has told you that your lot in life is banking, but when you went to the university, you studied medicine, all the years you spent in medicine are years spent away from your purpose. When you close for medicine, for example, I have a friend who did psychotherapy. Now he's the owner of a microfinance bank. And whenever we would talk, Olu would say, ah, I wish I'd done this banking thing earlier. You see, this is how I'm employed. I have to be deliberate to employ another layer of people to oversee them because I do not understand these things properly. And if you are not careful, these people can send you to jail. The reason for that was because now he owns an entity. He has staff. He's mastering it, but it wasn't his core. It wasn't his primary. And he every time he laments. If he had focused on it from the beginning and not wasted time doing something unrelated to what God said he should do, by now he would have built that business beyond where it is. Because he will have focused on it. He would have put all this energy. He will have become an expert in it. God has called you to be a prophet unto nations. It is true that prophecy is a gift. It is also very true that prophecy works for those who study scriptures more than those who don't. And those who study scriptures, they must sit down and learn how to study scriptures. They must be under the tutelage of somebody for some time. When you master the word of God and you master all the different attributes of the word of God, you will notice that your prophecy becomes more accurate because it is infused with knowledge of the nature of God. So when you prophesy, you speak wisdom. But some people, they want to go with the raw gifts without the adequate lesson. And so they prophesy and they prophesy error. And the reason they prophesy error is because their prophecy would not go through the filters of the word. So they would just be speaking, wow, wow, no, anyhow. And as a result of that, their prophecy makes no sense even to them because it is in its raw form, it is not refined. Again, when it comes to vision, it is the same thing. There is vision that comes from God. There is vision that comes from the word of God. There is vision that comes from the place of meditation. There is vision that comes from a place of response. You must understand that if you just wake up and you say, I have the gift of seeing visions, your vision, even though you might see, will not be clear without the light of the Word of God. The Word of God is the guiding light that will shed light upon everything we see in the realm of the Spirit and bring the meaning and understanding to us, which means you still need to spend some time to study to master. Stop playing with time. I see a lot of illusions. Somebody saying to ladies, oh, people are now giving birth in their 50s, in their 55. Don't worry. Don't let anybody scare you into getting married or at any time. Don't listen to lies. Don't lie to yourself. If God has told you you are going to be a mother, then that this is your call. It's not for everybody. Those who are supposed to be married are not supposed to be comparing themselves to those who are not supposed to be. Marriage is not for everybody. Jesus was not supposed to be married. Apostle Paul was, Apostle Peter was supposed to be married. Both of them fulfilled their ministry. The one that is supposed to be married had a calling for it. The one that's not supposed to be married had a calling for it. Therefore, get it done. And I mean get it done. Because the prodigal son, when he realized he was wasting away his time at the wrong place, the Bible said he came to himself and then he arose and then he began to move in the direction of purpose. Many of us are not moving in the direction of purpose. It is one of the things about people that I find to be quite challenging. You see somebody say, oh, what are you doing now? I'm working on my visa. I want to travel abroad. Then you tell the person, why? What? Why are you traveling abroad? I don't understand. Hey, Rabinga, it is true that God told me that he's going to establish a business for me in Nigeria. He even told me that the business will start from Mena State. I know. But I've waited and waited. It is not happening. So I now said, since the opportunity to travel abroad came, let me just go. If it is God's will, I mean, a lot of us, we do things like this. And we do not understand that it is basically what we call displacement. You basically displace yourself from destiny. You remove yourself from the place of destiny. You take yourself out of a place where destiny can reach you. You make a conscious decision to move away from destiny. Away. And the funny thing about it is, because time is a continuum, when you refuse to do what ought to be done in time, then that void will be filled by another. There is no purpose in this life that is specifically written to anybody's name. If Elijah refused to do it, Elisha will do it. God told Elijah to anoint Jehu. Elijah did not. Elisha did it. It was to the same effect. It tells you that it wasn't as if Elijah was bound to Jehu in any way. When Elijah only anointed, God told Elijah to anoint three people. He anointed only one and he didn't anoint the other two. Then the one he anointed went ahead and anointed the other two. Time. It's an illusion that I still have time. All of us know that by stature of our humanity or humanness, in a certain nature that we have, which is our the second of our divine nature, which is the limitation that we have in our mortal flesh, that at any time God can say, enough, come home. And you can protest all you want and shout all you want. If the time has come, the time has come. In Ahosa, I didn't think the man lived up to 60. But thank God that for about maybe 30 years of his life, he ran in the direction of purpose without looking back. He was a shoe salesman. He could have been aspiring to become general manager of Bata, or regional manager, or a state manager, or build a career in selling shoes. But that was not his purpose in Christ. When he found his purpose, he dropped everything and he pursued purpose. Let me say that again. If God has given you purpose and you are listening to me and you are saying, I will fulfill my purpose tomorrow, I will fulfill my purpose tomorrow, you are being very, very unserious. That is for me to put it mildly, because today is Sunday morning and I want all of us to do kumbaya and be smiling at each other. And we are doing prevailing prayer, by the way. Glory to God. Prevailing prayer is ending this week. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. By Thursday, I'm going to have my last session. Glory to God. And that is what time does. When we're about to start prevailing prayer, I was looking at the stretch of February and I was telling the Lord that, Lord, I want your word in season. I was praying in the spirit, disconnected myself from almost everything, just so that I can immerse myself in it. And you see now, we have just 4 or 5 days left. And after that, we have the Bonnie Light Conference and we are set. The same way 1 year becomes 10 years, 10 years become 20 years in the wrong direction. If you are in the wrong direction and you refuse to come down from that vehicle, you are in the wrong direction and you stay in that vehicle and you continue to let it take you to the wrong direction. Maybe you have a wrong relationship, a wrong friendship, or even a wrong marriage, and you sit in it, knowing that it is taking you on a journey to nowhere, taking you away from destiny. But you sit in it. You didn't do nothing. You didn't pursue your destiny. You didn't chase your destiny. You are like, I've made that. You are making excuses. A day will come. You will look at time and you will have clocked 75, 80. And all you will have to say at that time will be words of regret and lamentation. You will tell those who are around you that, ah, I didn't pursue purpose. As you listen to me today, don't say, tomorrow I will do it. TikTok says the time. What you have to do, do quick. Jesus told Judas, guy, don't let it be tomorrow. Let's get it over with. Go get it done. It is important that we all understand that at the end of the day, God is not going to give us rewards based on the tasks we choose for ourselves. Our reward at the bema seat of Christ is based on the instructions that he gave us for our destiny that we pursued and that we fulfilled. Nobody will get a reward for doing something that was not allotted to him by God or constituting a nuisance by blocking the path of other people who are on their way to fulfilling destiny. The time you are spending on irrelevant things, know that that time, you cannot get it back. It is best to spend time in the pursuit of purpose, because when you pursue purpose while spending time on it, you will gain mastery in that pursuit. That's one of the things. You get somebody to begin to learn how to be a mechanic at the age of 13, 14. By 20, he has mastered the engines. And he will continue to get better and better and better and better and better and better because he pursued it with his single eyes. And that way he can quickly get to where he's going. But you first deviate here. You want to do music, you first did veterinary medicine. After that, you did masters, you did MBA, and then you are coming back to pursue music in your 40s. You have wasted many years. And the years you wasted, you will see that because they are not in the pursuit of purpose, even if you made money, it wouldn't really give you fulfillment. I'm charging you today, everyone on the call. The only people that have an excuse here are those to whom God has not said, this is your purpose, this is your path, this is where you are going. But if God has shown you, this is it. It doesn't matter whether it is ministry, a marriage, whether it is to start a company or to start a business. It doesn't matter what it is. The moment that instruction came, the wise will drop every other thing and pursue it, just like Elisha did, just like Jesus did, just like John the Baptist did. All the examples in the scriptures, nobody told God to wait. They made excuses. Moses made excuses. Oh, I'm stammerer, I'm this, I'm that. He pursued purpose. He didn't tell God, I'm not interested. He didn't. It is in our time and age that I've seen people who would defy God and go in their own way. They will follow their own light. They'll follow their own purpose, only to come back at 80. Rav Zacharias called it God's humility. He said, God will accept you at 18 when you are young and can give him your life and everything. And if you choose not to give him your life at 18, if you stayed alive, God's arm will still be open when you are 80, when you had nothing to offer but regrets. He will still accept you and embrace you and show you love and welcome you to his kingdom, even though you spent all your productive years chasing other things and doing other things. He will still embrace you at the end of your life when you come to him. But it is always wise to pursue God when you have the strength, the purpose, the vigor, to pursue the things God said you should do when you are young enough to master them, to pursue them, and to become an authority in those things, than to wait until much later when your mouth will just be full of all sorts of excuses and issues. It is very important. Pursue purpose. Pursue purpose with all your heart. Pursue purpose with all your heart. Pursue purpose with all your heart. Make up your mind this morning that I'm not going to run another man's race. I'm not going to fulfill my will before fulfilling the will of God. I'm not going to put the cart before the horse. I'm going to become. God has said, oh, I'm placing you as a politician. You should by now be registered. You should be in governance. You shouldn't be saying, I'll start next year. I'll start in 2 years' time. You should be right in the middle of it now. There is no better time than now. Even if your coronation day is going to be 20 years' time, the earlier you start, the closer you get to your coronation day. That for you to then suddenly, you are 2020, you are 2030 something, you now say, aha, God showed me a vision that this is the year I become governor. Then everybody will say, where have you been? Then nobody will vote for you because you didn't pay all the price you are supposed to pay. For years to come, you didn't pay, you didn't register, you didn't do all your due diligence, you didn't make the network, you didn't make connection. And suddenly now, because God has told you, you are year 2040, you are going to be senator. You now show up in year 2039, say you want to contest. The Spirit of God will do it. I don't want to mention anybody's name. There's a pastor that did that, that said, God said, I was just laughing at him. Because it is very likely that God said, but when he was supposed to have done the right thing, he was preaching. Then he wants to suddenly become president last year, 2 years ago. That's not how it works. No matter how many prophecies you get from anywhere, that's not how it will work. You have to pay your dues. You have to go through the process. You have to do things right. It is important that you know these things. I love you with all my heart. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You prosper in all your ways. Thank you, Father, because we have come to understanding, and time is working in our favor. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the grace of the Lord shout glory.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.